Live from the EPB Fiber Optic Studio, this is WLND Signal Mountain, Chattanooga.
Health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and so much more. Welcome to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake, a production of Whitfield Media Group, with your hosts, Ed Jones, owner of Nutrition World, and Dr. Christopher Green, board-certified medical doctor.
Good morning and welcome to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. Thank you for taking your time to join us. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I am Ed Jones, owner of Nutrition World here in Chattanooga. And joining me is Dr. Christopher Green, medical doctor at CHI Memorial. And good morning, Dr. Green.
Oh, good morning, Ed. It's great to be here with you again on this Sunday morning. What a joy and a privilege it is to be a primary care doctor in this area. You know, family tradition goes back 150 odd years, and I'm reminded every week of that honor to follow all the people before me that have practiced this art. And I once again thank this community, CHI Memorial, for letting me do that. It's just a wonderful, wonderful adventure and a wonderful life. Thank you, CHI Memorial, our title sponsor, both for supporting us and also the whole community, Chattanooga, North Georgia. As I like to say, we are planning a hospital in Northwest Georgia, a replacement for the old Hutchison, the current CHI Memorial, Georgia. And it should come out in the next 4 or 5 years, so we're still working on the designs and exactly how that's going to look. But it should be right there at 4700 Battlefield Parkway, coming to a community near you soon. I can't wait to see that. So thank you again, CHI Memorial. My thanks to Benchmark Physical Therapy for the work they do. I've been working with them for a long time, and they are wonderful, wonderful people. And also LHC Group, that's Louisiana Healthcare, another sponsor for our show through Home Care Solutions, Home Health, both of Ringgold and Dalton. Thank you for all that you do. And also Heartlight Hospice of Dalton, ministering to the entire Northwest Georgia area. And actually goes a pretty good way south, too. And have been ministering with them through hospice for the last couple of years. And it is an honor to work with such wonderful, wonderful people. And we are having a new office for both the Home Health and Heartlight Hospice. Should open in about December. Hopefully we'll have an open house and I can announce that here and people can come by and learn a little bit more about medical care, hospice, and home health, which, as we've talked about on the show, Ed, I'm always amazed at how much I assume people know about healthcare. I assume they know about home health, hospice, physical therapy, and then I find out not only do they not understand all of that, but frankly, I'm still learning every day as well. Like when we had our occupational therapist, Jason, from Home Care Solutions on the show, I learned things about occupational therapy I had never heard, and I've been doing this about 25 years. So it is an honor to be learning on this show with you in real time, and I've enjoyed that immensely. Tell me about your week, Ed.
Thank you, my friend. And you know, I can echo the same exact thing. I have probably a day doesn't go by where I speak to the fact that I am learning stuff that I never knew existed. And because I live in a different kind of camp than conventional thinking does on health, I sometimes find myself boxed in with my own career path of 41 years of owning and building a business at Nutrition World. And I think it's a wonderful absolute situation that we have with this show, where we're actually bridging the gap between, you know, a lot of conventional and a lot of my kind of out there world of a very aggressive addressing nutrition, foods, health, the reasons why people get sick. And we should really and truly, the schools you go to and the path that Nutrition World is on should get closer. And I'm hoping it will. And I hope that we are planting seeds. In fact, this week alone, I had couple really nice comments at Nutrition World. Two different people came in and they were like, I listen every Sunday morning. I love the way you and Dr. Green talk, and it's just so entertaining. It's not only educational, but they feel like it's entertaining. So
hopefully in a good way.
Yeah, always. they leave the show better than they started, so that's a great compliment.
Fantastic.
I do want to say a little bit of bragging on Nutrition World. We did win three of the best categories. First place this year, which was only a month ago. We did the best weight loss center, the best holistic center, and the best in health food store. But I want to say that the North Georgia best of the best I saw this morning is now open, I think, for votes.
I had no idea.
And that means that when you see general practitioner, guess who I would want you to vote for? Dr. Christopher Green.
And you'd better go vote, Ed.
I can't. I don't live in North Georgia.
Well, find somebody in North Georgia. Make them vote for you.
I need to move, I guess, real quick. Get an address down there.
There you go.
But, yeah, so anyone out there who's voting on the North Georgia side, if you feel the need and you feel led to it, vote for Dr. Green.
Yes, please, and thank you.
We did have a great lecture the other night on keto, and I was really kind of cool because I had my partner in crime on keto, which is Adam. He's been on the show here once before. Just a really smart individual about his studies, and he's very scientifically oriented. He reads so much PubMed that it just astounds me the things he knows. But my part of it was the five bullet points on keto, and his bullet points, or his part of the lecture, was basically the nuts and bolts. How do you start a keto program? But a couple of my bullet points were that, number one, keto is not for everyone. I've had two people, actually three people, one of which had to go in Valley Hospital after being on keto, not through us, because he followed the bad advice, like the old school Atkins, which was lots of meat, cheese, bacon, all the big meat foods, and almost nothing else. It really flipped her, and it took her many, many months to recover. Another, cholesterol on a young lady, when I say young, because I'm 60, be 63 on the next birthday. She was 40-ish. Cholesterol went from about 204 to 340 in 3 months. She was a super disciplined person and went too far, too extreme. We tried everything. We tried manipulating it with a couple supplements. We tried, but she wouldn't loosen her grip on it. So in that case, it was just not for her chemistry. And now, after going back to more of a Mediterranean diet, everything came back in order. And now, on the other side, she has gained more body fat. She has more brain fog. She has more cravings. So she's not happy camper, but her blood work is happier. And the thing I said at the keto lecture is the one number one super advantage for me is I don't have cravings for junk food or for biscuits or for any of these super carbohydrates, unless I eat at like on Sundays is my free day. I do get to eat what I want. And I can tell by Monday it's barely starting to creep in, the cravings. If I did this for 3 days, I'd be probably full-blown back in my craving stage. But if you want to listen, we're going to be having my part of the lecture audio version on nutritionw.com probably by the time you are hearing this.
I'll tell you another benefit that I found, and I agree with the cravings. Although I'm not as disciplined on the keto as you are, Ed, but when I am on the keto, I do have less cravings. Energy is better. And I don't have any hypoglycemia. Mm. My body's not dependent on that sugar anymore. So it's one thing that tends to disappear. Whereas if I eat a higher carb diet, I don't know how often I had them, but you know, periodically, something I noticed every couple of weeks, I would have a spell like that. And it's nice to not have to deal with any low sugar.
It sure is, because that certainly, when you're in the position you are, we need to be on our game every waking hour when we're working. And brain fog comes with blood sugar imbalances and of course, lack of energy. And I'm again, I go back to the bullet points I spoke about. There's right ways and there's very wrong ways to do keto. And that's not always true of every diet, because some diets or some eating plans, you got a lot of flexibility on screwing up. But keto actually can be risky if you don't know what you're doing. I do a national podcast called The Holistic Navigator. I did a 32-minute segment on there on keto. So feel free to go to The Holistic Navigator if you want to hear an older version of my keto ideas.
But right, there's not just one keto diet, which people tend to not realize.
Yeah, people put it under that one term, keto. Keto means what? Low carb. Oh, there's so much more to it. It's like saying to someone, I want you to go to the gym and work out, and I'm not going to tell you anything about what to do, how to do it, or reps or sets. I just want you to spend 45 minutes working out. You take a complete novice and you put them in that situation, they're going to hurt themselves most of the time, and they'll quit, and they'll get nothing good out of it. Same with keto. So I want people to know you need to learn the right way, or else probably not do it.
And we preach a lot of just general healthy tips on diet, just like shopping from the outside of the store. Fresh fruits and vegetables, avoid the processed. I mean, there's so many things you can do that are simple that really take really no training, just a little bit of logical thought.
Logical thought. It seems like we have kind of lost that somewhere along the line sometimes, but that's why we're here, to help hopefully guide people into some common sense, because we are in a world that is so complex with information. We are overloaded, and many people just throw their hands up because they have no trusted partners. I want to be the trusted partner on the journey to more of the nutrition story. You are the trusted partner on the journey of health and appraising it and monitoring. So I think we are a good team. It's time for us to take a break, Dr. Green. When we come back, we're going to be discussing more about your health and nutrition. Got that, plus more to come. For Dr. Green, I'm Ed Jones, and stay with us.
You're listening to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. If you're always on the move, download the free radio.com app to your smartphone or tablet, and keep us tuned in on 98.1 The Lake. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World here in Chattanooga, along with my partner, Dr. Christopher Green. And I do want to say before I forget it, the most exciting thing at Nutrition World, and this show is not here to push Nutrition World specifically at all, but we did launch an online ordering and a next day pickup at the store for convenience. And the thing that makes us different is we ice pack every probiotic and every omega-3 12 months of the year, and we ice pack everything else if the temperature is going to be over 75 degrees. Listen, people, do you really believe, how would you like to order eggs from Amazon and it's going to be shipped with no ice packs or no cool stuff around it? No one would order eggs. Guess what? Nutrients are almost as perishable. They won't turn into food poisoning, but they will destroy the quantity of nutrients in them in a 4-hour period in a hot truck. So NutritionW.com, online ordering or next day pickup. That sounds cool, doesn't it?
That is awesome. Yeah, I remember getting some special creamer from Amazon years ago, and it got there with the cold packs hot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, how long had this stuff been out there?
Yeah.
But it was, the product was hot by the time it got to me.
Right.
Didn't work.
And there's some issues, like if we were going to ship to California, we're really not sure what to do about that because of the 5-day shipping. So that's something we're going to have to evolve into. We probably will ship a second day air because we can keep it cold for about 36 hours. I know on the news, the baby powder thing is still going on, and a lot of stores have pulled Johnson & Johnson's baby powder because of asbestos. I'm not going to make any big statement of that. We talked about it last week. I know, Dr. Green.
Is it only that one company?
Yeah, it's only that one company. And Johnson & Johnson, I mean, these massive behemoth companies just are like monsters, and they have no buck that stops with any person, because all they are is committees and they're, you know, organizations to produce profit. Of course, that's what corporations do, but not at the cost of common sense. I mean, we've dealt with this talc powder and baby powder cancer connection for probably 15 years. I mean, it isn't rocket science, Johnson & Johnson, to make a freaking product that you know is as pure as possible, because we're dealing with babies and infants. Whether you agree with it or not, if it's controversial and has something not hooked to nature and natural and is for a baby, just make the freaking stuff the right way and be done with it. But no, they got to keep on doing their same old, which is potentially a partial maybe harm. Probably not significant, but I don't care. My new grandbaby, who's now 15 weeks old, I'm not going to take any freaking chances. I'm going to make the best decisions I can. So there's my rant on Johnson & Johnson. Actually, Johnson & Johnson bought one of our companies and our industry and completely ruined it. Absolutely took a family-owned operation that had the highest level of ethics, natural chapter, and they had some of the best clinical studies on their herbal products, especially for prostate health. And everybody was like thinking this going, Johnson & Johnson is going to really boost this into all the new realm of your world. And it just didn't happen. They completely destroyed the company.
Well, you know, it's just the bottom line and the money that tend to drive companies like that. And I understand that. I mean, they have their shareholders. They have to be answerable. And I get that. But when you're telling that story, I'm remembering the miracle, the old miracle on 34th Street where Santa sends a customer to Gimbel's. And then that same customer, a lady, goes to the manager, the CEO, whoever it was, and said, you know what? Your Santa sent me over to Gimbel's to get this. He's apologizing. Mm-hmm. And she says, no. I appreciate that. You did the right thing. Who does the right thing mm-hmm. in this world? I'm going to be a Macy's customer for life now. And so, you know, they did the right thing, mm-hmm. lost business. Will that work? Probably, because most of us are that way. But I know Johnson & Johnson, if they admit guilt and say we did wrong and we're improving this, do they put themselves out for liability? Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's, I wish the right thing could drive people, not the fear. We talk about living, you know, the life fiercely, not living in fear. But so often, I think for these corporations, they think legally and fearfully, and they protect themselves before doing what's right for the consumer.
You are so correct. In fact, my daughter and I went to a social media training class last week. We were there all day long, and it was to teach business owners and entrepreneurs and also business, even employees, how do you take social media and make it effective? I mean, everything is about dealing with the details, just like I said with keto. You can do it right, you can do it wrong. You certainly can do social media postings wrong. But they were comparing some companies, one of which they compared Wendy's to McDonald's and the postings of how they did that. Wendy's, being a much smaller company, but is personal. They actually, you enjoy reading what they do on social media. McDonald's is so plastic and corporate that no one cares. And it's all about connections today. And you connect with your patients, because I know that, because I hear feedback. I connect with my clients because I hear feedback. And it is about doing the right thing. You would send somebody to someone else, and even with the chance of never seeing them again as a patient. I'll send people to companies or to doctors or to health practitioners when sometimes I know, well, I might lose them. But you don't lose them. You're going to do exactly what you said. That person is going to always be more, at least, faithful and have a great view of your business practices if you do the right thing. And it's not about next quarter's profits. Those are diminished if you do the wrong thing. They might be bigger for the next quarter, but they're not going to be bigger for the next 5 years.
Well, Ed, you do the right thing because it's who you are. You're not doing it to receive something else. It's just the right thing.
Thank you.
That's your character.
Thank you. When I quit worrying about, when I quit focusing on ringing up the cash register about 25 years ago, things improved significantly. And I always remember this old gentleman. He was probably, of course, you know how age is so relative. This was 20 years ago, which means I was 42. He's probably not much older than me now. But he came in and never had seen him. Just one of those salt of the earth guys. And he had a request for some couple products. Well, when he brought them at the register, he paid with cash. And I said, I appreciate it. Thank you, sir. And he looked at me and said, I really do hope you appreciate it, because you don't realize how hard I work for that money. And it hit me hard, because it's so easy to take it for granted, to just throwing cards out, throwing money out. That man truly worked hard. I don't know in what business or job he was in, but he worked hard, and I so appreciated that, and I never forgot it. And people today, they're all working hard. We're all working hard to earn our income, and it isn't to be taken lightly. So thank you all the people in Chattanooga who come and work hard and then spend that money at Nutrition World. So thank you. I did eat at, which I haven't eaten there in a long time, but my daughter wanted to eat there last week, Whole Foods. And, you know, there was a time 2 or 3 years ago where that food bar, I just was not pleased with.
It's really nice now.
It's really nice. Yes. And I'm, you know, of course me, I made some very, very healthy choices, but dang, it was good.
I just wish they didn't do the price by the weight. So often I like the areas where it's, you know, a price for an item, not the price by weight, because you have to think about that. And so often I'll get what I think is a really good salad. Oh, I'm saving money. Nope, $14. So, you know, it's not that it was unhealthy. It just weighed a lot. So
it can.
Oh, please, Whole Foods, find a different way to charge me. I work hard for that money. Come on. Don't take all money for a salad.
So, and once you get it in that to-go box, you can't put it back in the buffet again, can you?
Oh, no. But they have that nice prepackaged area over to the right. Uh-huh. And then their deli area with the cakes and all that. They, you know, I bought some of those for, you know, their cupcakes. Cakes really do a fine job.
They do a wonderful job. And I'm kind of surprised because some of their store, part of the store has gone down because of Amazon. But that part has not. It's actually, I think, improved. I know they've taken health care away from a lot of their workers. I know that, you know, there's a lot of burnout going on with the staff because it just isn't the loyalty that seemed to be in the old days. I mean, Whole Foods in the old days was like Nutrition World. It truly was. It was a family, even though it was big, it was family owned in a way, or family felt when you went in. The employees were all of a team. It's just not like that anymore. It's just not. But that comes with the massive growth of behemoth companies, you know? I do want to say that I did a podcast, this I do one every week on the Holistic Navigator, and the one this week was on, it's labeled One Crappy Episode, Dealing with Diarrhea. Of course, I am coming from the focus of nature, natural, holistic, and this is on the Holistic Navigator. How many of us, I mean all
what
of us.
What a title, though.
One Crappy Episode. And what I basically talked about, and believe it or not, when I speak on this, they're all about 30 minutes long. And I'm not saying I'm not saying that I'm channeling, but I have amnesia. I don't know if you do these things or not, but when I do these, I am all in and I share every single piece of detail that I have learned over 41 years about how to deal with a topic. But I don't ever remember what I said until I replay it. But on this one, I always remember. I can remember one or two bullet points. This one is the two bullet points. Have charcoal in your house. That means because if you need it, you need it pretty quickly. You don't have time to run to the store. Charcoal's still found, or you tell me this. I think charcoal's still found in most emergency rooms, isn't it?
You're talking about activated charcoal, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is.
And in the old, you know, tradition, charcoal has been around for hundreds of years, if no longer, because it was actually in the Egyptian writings that they were using charcoal. What makes charcoal unusual is it's like a sponge. The molecular structure of charcoal has holes in it, and so they're empty. That's why when you buy a box of charcoal powder, it's so light, the ones that like activated charcoal, not the charcoal you cook on your grill. And I have used it so many times when I think something's bothering me, like food poisoning, a stomach bug. The thing it does is, though, it slows intestinal tract down, not like Imodium, but it slows it to a point where it's significant and it can constipate really quickly if you do too much. And too much is what you have to do if you're sick. What is the right kind of dosing? It's 10 pills. You do 10 capsules if you are really sick intestinally, and you have to do it away from drugs and away from nutrients because it is a sponge. It will suck everything into itself, and you do not want to suck the drugs or other things into it. So a couple hours away from food and drugs, you pop 10 pills once to two times a day, and you will slow down your diarrhea. It will be solid black, so don't freak about that. And the other thing I love charcoal for is figuring out transit time. Transit time is the amount of time it takes from the time you chew your food to the time it goes out the other end. And it's kind of important to know that.
It also absorbs odors.
Oh, so
that's exactly another thing. So there are people that, gosh, I remember eons ago, a trainer talking about that, about working out and having that issue of flatulence with the clients and how to reduce that. But with anti-gas and charcoal, you reduce the gas. Of course, you can cause constipation too, but also the odor, so it's less noticeable. But that's another thing I've heard gastroenterologists treat. But you're right, primarily in the ER, it's used for overdoses,
right?
You know, after they've already pumped the stomach, anything that got in the system, and it will absorb it.
Boy, it will. It can save lives, and that's why it's still in the emergency room. But have charcoal in your house. Get the capsules. Realize that the recommendations on the bottle, I guess I would say, is maintenance, not therapeutic. If you want to be therapeutic, learn more, like listening to my Holistic Navigator. The other thing is the Manuka honey. I really think that if I'm, like, my daughter this week was starting to get a cold on Monday, and she is breastfeeding, and she's very conservative. She takes the nutrients that we know are totally needed and safe. So, but she can't and won't take, like, if she wasn't pregnant or wasn't breastfeeding, she'd be taking herbs and she'd be taking all this other stuff. She's not doing that. But Manuka honey kills so much bacteria, as you and I learned with Mike Everly from the company Bees and Trees. And so she started taking a good dose of Manuka twice a day. Instead of having a cold 7 to 8 days, it went away in 4. And I think that is pretty amazing. So, and who knows, it probably helped little fella that she's breastfeeding because she got the cold from him.
And certainly better than anything medicine has for a cold.
Well, yeah, or...
it'll go away in 1 week or 7 days if you take your medicine.
That's
so,
right.
You know, it's we've got really nothing for a virus out there. But, you know, of course, your vitamin C, your vitamin D, there's plenty of products out there for that. And people, be careful with your Manuka honey from where you buy it, because they're not all the same.
Exactly. When you listen to our podcast or our Vital Health Radio show on the Manuka, and the thing is, and also don't give honey to, what was it, 2 years and younger?
Under 2.
Yeah, right. Under 2, because it does not, it couldn't be dangerous to little children like that. Well, that's, gosh, Dr. Green, that's,
it's going so fast.
14 minutes, it felt like 3. It's time for us to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be discussing more about your health and nutrition. We've got that and a bunch more. For Dr. Green, I'm Ed Jones, and stay with us.
We're all about healthy living and enjoying life. Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I am Ed Jones with Nutrition World here at the radio station with my partner, Dr. Christopher Green. And I brought up a headline, Dr. Green. It says on CNN Health, a germ-free childhood could trigger leukemia, scientists suggest. And it's really an interesting article, which I do tend to agree that people, or all of us, who don't test the immune system early on, it seems that it doesn't get trained correctly.
Well, my thought, having not read this, is how in the world do you raise a child with a germ-free environment?
Well, keeping them in the house, never letting them out with other children, and making sure you're completely germ-free if you walk in from being in outside sources. I mean,
so more of a helicopter parent who's
totally
not going to let their child experience.
Totally, totally. Okay. And, you know, so many things in health initially don't, they kind of make sense, but then they don't make sense when you start really delving into it. Like, it makes sense. Let's see, let's keep my child away from germs and keep them clean. And logically, that sounds right. But obviously, we don't know everything. And testing the immune system in early age, which they're saying is 1 and under, will prime the immune system to be able to know what an enemy is and be aggressive enough to attack it. Well, cancer is an enemy. Now, this makes it occur later in life, you know, not that year, but it's an interesting concept. And I am a big believer, after my studies of health, that we're living in a society that really doesn't trigger any of our remote, massive strengths within that was put into us. And what I'm saying with that is, this is why fasting and intermittent fasting works, is because it's triggering the mechanisms within to prepare you for adapting to a crisis. And that adaption to that crisis of no food actually strengthens the body, and it makes us digest bad cells. It makes us purify the body. It makes us actually live longer and healthier. The worst thing, I think, in my intuitive mind, is that we do the same thing every single day, and we protect ourselves from every single stress that could come our way. In fact, there's a guy named Wim Hof. I probably mentioned it before. He's a Polish guy, and he takes people who are basically untrained, and in 10 to 12 weeks, he will train an untrained individual, not unhealthy individual, but untrained physically, and to have them climb Mount Kilimanjaro, which is extremely tough mountain climb. And he will have them do that quicker than the people who have been training for 5 to 10 years. How does he do it? He does it through a cold water immersion, holding your breath during exercise, and massively stressing the body in the training principles that then triggers this strength to come out of nowhere.
Well, that makes sense. He's almost reproducing some of the things they're about to face. Lower oxygen and cold temperatures. So
they are.
He's training them to face the environment.
Yep. And then the body adapts to that, but it's in a way, it's so aggressively dealing with the body that like we keep talking about this, we are going to cryogenics, you and I.
People, we promise you we're going to do it. We've only been saying that a year.
Hey, in fact, I'm meeting with a guy from the cryo chamber within the next 2 weeks. I'm going to make some kind of deal where, you know, let's you and I go down and we'll do a little video or something. But that's minus 160 degrees. I've done it many times. I love it, love it, love it. It's just downtown and I can't get there conveniently. But what it does, that minus 160 is going to trigger this sleeping strength that's within. And it's like a muscle that hasn't been worked in 50 years, and all of a sudden it gets worked. And it is coming from a primal wiring.
Hey, I got a question there. Yeah. Just thinking about that and thinking about a few patients I know that really suffer from hot flashes. Have they ever looked into the cryotherapy and prevention of hot flashes? Just a thought. I know it would feel good to a lot of these ladies suffering from that. Just a thought. And I was thinking about the germ-free stuff. You know, you don't exercise and go through that pain and stress your body. You know, whether it's aerobic or resistance training, and you atrophy, you just waste away, and it's, you know, causes heart disease, so many things. In this case, that's an interesting thought about the avoidance of infection and development of leukemia. You're basically just not using those cells, and somehow that may predispose them to misfire later in life. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting thought. I've never read an article like that, but that's something worth watching, and certainly we can't really keep our kids from infection all the time. You can't put them in a bubble. You just can't avoid it. As careful as I am, I still catch things. But then I'm in people's face every day. But it is virtually impossible to go to church, go to Walmart, go anywhere and not be exposed to something. So I would say people don't need to be paranoid about that. But I'm still a believer. I know we talk about hand washing and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I'm still a big believer in hand washing and hygiene. So that's one place we differ. But I would say not to go overboard with their children would be the take-home message.
It would be. And also not to fear modest sickness. It is a natural phenomenon of every living creature. And, you know, I think, and I know you see this, people panic these days for fear of it turning into some death sentence or, you know, they're going to quit breathing and all this. So we've got this, like, super paranoid society. Part of it is the media. I mean, you know, if someone dies, you know, over in Kansas from some kind of rare bacteria, it's going to be in the front page of the news. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you know, if it said that, you know, this started with a couple red bumps on the back of the neck, well, everybody with red bumps thinks they have that bacteria. So it's a panicky situation. And we need to, or I believe heavily in trusting the innate power and strength of our own body. And like you said, this leukemia thing with children, you know, the study was that if we keep them germ-free, it increases leukemia down the road. It's just like if you had a cast on your leg for a year, it's going to weaken that muscle. You're going to atrophy. In fact, the astronauts who go in outer space, they start losing bone mass within 3 days. Why is that? No gravity. When you have gravity is what's making the bones want to stay strong and big. Well, when there's no stressor on it, it just fades away. Well, that's the same probably with this immune system. So don't dread normal sicknesses, people. Use things that you feel comfortable with. Of course, me, Manuka honey, and all the nutrients and the vitamin C, because I want to nourish the body. I don't want to treat a symptom, because treating a symptom really doesn't make you healthier or better. It makes you feel better, but it's not helping you to get well better. So and there's time and places. But, you know, this conversation that you said about the hand washing, I know that I've made several statements about the hand washing, that I don't wash my hands very often. One is because I know that if I don't touch orifices on my body, which are the mouth, the ears, the eyes, the nose, I mean, I know there's a couple more, but I'm not going to touch those.
Sorry, people.
Yeah, well,
We've already talked about diarrhea today, though, so that's okay.
Well, I may touch them in private, but I'm no other places. But the other parts is where the germs get in the body. Yes, we can breathe them. Someone coughs directly on you. Yes, it can, those droplets can get in the body, as we know, and you know very well. But generally, I'm touching the doorknob, I'm touching the toilet handle, I'm touching this. If I don't then touch my orifices, the chances are greatly reduced, not eliminated. So why I'm saying that is the study, there was a study, and I don't think I brought it up here, Dr. Green.
And let me throw something in defense of you, Ed, because it sounds like I'm making fun of you about the no hand washing. You know, I do tell people, even a little more strict than you, I don't even say orifices, mouth or nose or anything, because people are always doing that. But I say anything above the chest, level or higher. If you touch there, then go and cleanse. Otherwise, there's really not as much need. And like you said, we're not talking about going to the bathroom. You should always wash after going to the bathroom.
Right.
But people unconsciously touch their face and their nose and their mouth. And for that reason, most people are not as cautious as you.
Mm. Well, and I agree, because I had to train myself. It is a nervous habit to flick your nose, flick your ear, flick your, even scratch your eye. It's very, if you start watching your friends and family, you will not go more than 20 minutes without seeing somebody touch one of those things above the chest. And I like that. It's much easier to get concept of that, anything above the chest. However, I will say that there was a study, a pretty big study, that showed that not washing your hands after pooping is equal to eating raw meat. That was on CNN yesterday. And they looked at like 5,000 people, and that's where the E. coli comes in. That's the thing that makes you so sick at your stomach, and you know, and takes days to get over. And you know, it's not from, it's not the normal stuff. It's like at Starbucks, you go to the bathroom, you just go to the bathroom to go in there and do whatever you do, and then when you come out, you touch the doorknob. Well, guess what? Everybody, half the people went in there to do their business. And if some of those did not wash their hands and then they touch the doorknob going out, you're going to get that E. coli.
Well, you probably watch like I do. And being a doctor, I do, when I'm in a public restroom, and I can see usually half the people walk out without washing. So that's a lot of people. And I was trained at an early age by my dad, never touch the doorknob. Always get a paper towel. Do something. Do anything not to. And he's right, because he would say it's like going and touching that person's body part and then walking out with it. And I thought, that's really gross. But he had a point. Mm-hmm. And then that person goes out, and that's why they have all those signs in the restaurant. It fixes your food. Mm-hmm. And if that person had, you know, a bad E. coli, hepatitis, anything like that, boom. And these poor people that got the hepatitis and that scare last year, well, that's what was happening. Or was that earlier this year? You know, that's really poop-contaminated food, which is quite disgusting.
And the thing is, some of these people actually did wash, you know, they washed their hands really well, the workers, but yet they're still touching the doorknob. So they're just re-inoculating themselves with the people who didn't wash their hands. So I'm going to be a little more cautious about the doorknob thing, because I am a doorknob kind of nutty person. I don't like touching it. So I have used, you know, I've pulled my shirt out of my shirt tail and, you know, manipulated the doorknob before, as you, I would guess, has done that.
Absolutely.
When you didn't have a paper towel or something. But I'm going to be a little more cautious. This E. coli and, you know, the raw meat analogy, that's pretty heavy
nasty.
Duty.
I was watching a travel show, and in France, of course, they'll eat raw red meat.
Yeah.
And I watched them fix that, and they were so happy eating it. And I thought, that no way. I don't care if you were going to pay me a little bit to take it. No, I'm not going to take that chance. Don't want to catch a slow virus, kuru, something like that. A lot of people don't know about that. There are some things, basically brain-eating viruses that you can get, and they are uniformly fatal. So, you know, that's something no one would do. So you compared it, or that article compared it to the same thing. That's just a little bit concerning.
It is concerning. And, you know, things called prions and other components of these meats, they can take a decade or two to really eat the brain away. So it's not like this, I ate it last week and felt bad. So it's kind of scary stuff. Well, that's an interesting tangent that we went on. I'm going to start
being relevant.
But relevant. At least wash. So two take homes from that. Don't touch anything above your chest, whether you wash your hands or not, because that's usually how you inoculate yourself. And secondly is doorknobs. Let's be more cautious about doorknobs.
And well, let's bring up also, we've talked a long time ago about the dirtiest items in your life, and found out things like your cell phone's dirtier than the toilet seat. Mm-hmm. The keyboard at your place of business is probably more dirty as well. So we forget those things. We think about a doorknob in a bathroom. Makes great sense. People go use the bathroom, they're leaving. But your own cell phone may be dirtier than that.
And I know all the, you know, the stethoscope study was supposedly. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you guys and women?
I still clean mine on a regular basis.
Really?
Mm-hmm. All through the day, just like my hands.
You use like a wipey or a spray or what?
Everything from, you know, Clorox to alcohol, you know, just whatever it takes. Keep it clean.
I love it. Well, you are the kind of guy that would do that.
And really a lot of, say, most providers do that periodically. So we try to be careful. Now, granted, we're not sticking our stethoscopes in people's faces, which
right.
is, you know, so it's a little bit safer there.
Yeah, it is. There's no doubt. You're not taking their temperature with a thermometer and then sticking into somebody else's. So, hey, guess what? Dr. Green, 14 minutes again is
gone. Crazy.
Yeah. It's time for us to take a break. When we come back, we'll be having Dr. Green's spiritual moment. That plus more to come. For Dr. Green, I'm Ed Jones, and stay with us.
You're listening to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. If you're always on the move, download the free radio.com app to your smartphone or tablet and keep us tuned in each Sunday morning right here on 98.1 The Lake. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones, here with my partner, Dr. Christopher Green, and we always look forward to the fourth segment with Dr. Green's spiritual moment.
And I will say we were talking off the air about my somewhat raspy voice, so we talk all the time about disease prevention and care. Unfortunately, as providers, we're exposed to so many things, and so I've had a bit of a raspy voice and a cold. So I'm fighting that, and I've had my Manuka honey this week, Ed, so I've been fighting it naturally, and it is getting better, which is nice. All right, back to our spiritual moment. As always, it is brought to you by Silverdale Baptist Church. If anyone out there would like to learn more about Silverdale, just visit their website, which is silverdalebc.com, or download their free app for Android or iPhone. Today, we are going to talk about how to get through all those ups and downs that life throws at us. I like to recommend often that you live your life fiercely. I've done that in numerous spiritual moments over the past year. I also am often reminded that we can be way too hard on ourselves. However, we need to remember what Mark Twain once said: a clear conscience is the sure sign of a bad memory. Yet, it's still necessary that we reflect on our lives, both our present and our past included. When everything is going well, we tend to just go nonstop. It is rare that we pause or be still for even just a moment. We need to take time to rest and simply reflect on all the life going on around us. Going full speed constantly can and will take a toll on every aspect of your life. Well, if you don't learn how to take care of yourself, that is. Well, do you take care of yourself physically before your doctor tells you that you have to? Do you care for yourself emotionally by maintaining healthy relationships? Do you take care of yourself mentally by learning, no matter how old you are? And do you take care for yourself spiritually long before a crisis hits? Taking care of yourself physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually is critical to living a healthy life. This is like a stool with four strong legs holding you up. If you knock one out, well, you still have three holding you up and giving you strength. And people, let me tell you, these difficult times will happen. It's not a question of if, but of when. I would recommend that you maintain healthy spiritual relationships with your friends, your family, and perhaps be active in a small group that supports your growth. Also, having a daily time of prayer and meditation and study will build spiritual strength, and that's something that I have modeled into my life and is a crucial time of every morning for me. Last, have a church in which you are active and find support with others of like mind. We need that support. Physical, mental, and emotional health are all important, but spiritual training and health, to me, is the most critical to your long-term well-being. Well, let me close with a couple of verses important to me. First, Psalm chapter 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. And Psalm chapter 62, verses 1 and 2. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. And that is your spiritual moment for the day. Ed?
Thank you, my friend. And I know that probably resonated with many people who are listening, as it did me. I think the three words I took away from that, of course, I, as a human being, tend to forget, that is so important to my heart, my soul, my journey in life, is these three things: pause, be still, and reflect. We are in such a chaotic society that promotes the opposite of stillness, because of diversions and all our toys and our cell phones and our overwork, our TV, that people are actually terrified to be still if they've lost the habit of doing that. In fact, they did a study that they took like 100 people, and they gave them a choice between sitting totally isolated for 1 hour or receiving an electrical shock. And about 70% chose the electrical shock rather than sitting still, because it terrified them to have to sit for 60 minutes with nothing in a blank room. So it's
unusual. I mean, that we would find that relaxing.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that got to me, and that quiet time, that time of peace and stillness, you do it every morning too, as I recall. Mm-hmm. The thing that got me was the Mark Twain quote, of all things. I mean, I love Mark Twain, but so often I tend to be so hard on myself. Anything I see as me not living up to my full potential, me not being who I was supposed to be, whatever it is, anything I perceive as a failure on my part, I kick myself about it and beat myself up. And a lot of those quiet times, I'm thinking about things like that and spiritually praying about it, reading about it. But, you know, I like that Mark Twain is basically saying, look, nobody out there has a clear conscience. You're not the only one. Everybody is in the same place. And not to feel so beat up and down about it, because really, if you have a clear conscience, you're just fooling yourself, really. Boy. And, you know, Jesus said it too. There's none good. No, not one. Maybe that wasn't Jesus saying it, but it's in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So, you know, not a good person out there. So it is okay. So we're not perfect. You know what? Neither is anybody else.
No, but you know, in today's social media, it looks like most people are far more perfect than we, because of the postings of perfection of life and the happiest marriages and boyfriend, girlfriend, plenty of money, all the toys and parties, and just nothing but laughter, joy, and a free ride, it seems, with so many. And it's just giving us the wrong message, because we believe it. It isn't true, and we know it's not, but then we kind of think there's something wrong with us. We are our worst enemy most of our life. So thank you for all of that. I do want to say I'm going to try each week to give people a website of the week that I truly, truly value for the conversation of health. There's a doctor named Dr. Greger, and he is something. I'll just tell you. He's got 2,000 different postings on his website, and he is the most massive believer in the power of food as medicine and healing of any one person. But his videos are completely based in very strong research. I don't have to have everything researched in PubMed. He does. But his posting this week on the fact that 80% of our diseases are created by our knife and fork. Now, I will say the man does not like supplements. He actually says lots of bad things about it, but that doesn't mean that I don't take some of his stuff still, and I don't categorize him as an enemy because he disagrees with me. But this week was Flashback Friday, turning the clock back 14 years. Four simple behaviors that can cut our chronic disease by 80%.
But at a different point of view, is an opportunity to learn.
Absolutely. I'm not, and you know, yeah. 10 years ago, I would have taken it personal and said, I'm not going to watch this guy because he doesn't agree with me. No, he's got some wisdom in here.
There's probably something he's gotten right that you missed.
That's right. He's just amazing. So I would recommend nutritionfacts.org. He has great credentials.
So he's very big on diet.
And it's all diet. And Now he leans really strongly to a very vegetarian-based diet.
So he would have loved Jack LaLanne.
He would have. Yes, absolutely. So nutritionfacts.org, I want you to go on there, people. I mean, he's got everything from cholesterol to dying to cancer to how to get well on every aspect.
And I will say, and I'm going to throw in, be a skeptic when you go and read it.
Yeah, be an open-minded skeptic.
Yes. I mean, don't just take it as gospel because it's just another opinion.
No, but a person who is academically super trained in the medical field like you are, you would take this with some real credibility because of the fact, the way he backs it up, and they're all 5-minute videos, so it's really cool how, and it's nice. Interesting how he talks about it. I'm going to send you a link. I want you to watch it, so give me some feedback maybe next week on it. Well, you know what, Dr. Green? Another one has gone by. And
oh, you're kidding me.
Nope. So that's going to do it for this week's edition of Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial, 98.1 The Lake. It is a production from the Whitfield Media Group, and I want to thank you, and Dr. Green does too, for listening. We will be back here next week for a radio show that's all about your healthy living. We've been doing this now a year and a half. It's amazing. My daughter asked me last night, how long is your contract? I said, for life. Huh. And she laughed.
Was it a contract or a sentence, Ed? I can't remember.
So for Dr. Christopher Green from CHI Memorial, I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World. And remember, we do have online ordering now at NutritionW.com.
And try it, people.
So try it out. Thank you. We'll see you next week. This is Ed Jones. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake with Ed Jones and Dr. Christopher Green. Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake, is a production of Whitfield Media Group. Join us next Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and have a great weekend.